For me, it's been lovely being able to go around a number of our churches as moderator to see how we have different ways of worship. In June, I was honored to be elected the 70th moderator of the non-subscribing Presbyterian Church of Ireland. And if I've got my history right, I'm the 56th minister to hold the role since it was created in 1910. Our General Synod held in Bambridge was momentous for many reasons, not least that I'm the first openly gay man to hold the post. That reflects in the changes we have in society, especially in the north, where we're a little bit slower to take on, I would say. I sit alongside the Lord Mayor of Belfast, the Right Honourable Councillor Mickey Murray, and the Minister for the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs, who both are openly gay men, both of whom attended our Pride service in Belfast, and along with having a protest outside All Souls for the very first time, having had that service for 17 years. It was a momentous General Synod too, in that I'm the first minister for many years not being in a full-time charge, who has, as I've explained, a secular job. That brings challenges, challenges of time, challenges of trying to devote the time that I want to so many different things. But as I look at our denomination and many churches going forward, we'll have to work with part-time ministers or ministers who have other income in which to make the ministry succeed. I'm probably the first what is called non-stipendary minister to hold the role as moderator. My first official service was on the Sunday after my installation, and it was in my home congregation of All Souls. And one of the congregations said to me, "We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. What does the moderator do?" And I thought, "Oh, right. Okay, what does the moderator do?" Bridget put it very eloquently at the start. "Will I get a fancy frock with tassels? Ooh. I get a medallion and I get a stole. I get called the Right Reverend along with other names, I dare say, by many people after meetings of various committees. But I get to represent the denomination on ceremonial services, such as the Battle of the Somme commemoration, Remembrance Sunday, and recently at the funeral of the Catholic Archbishop Noel Traynor in Belfast, with other church leaders and civic leaders from across the island of Ireland. But with these symbols, I also take the responsibility. And what I'm finding is there is more that happens behind the scenes. Now, maybe that's because I want to move us forward as a denomination. I want to deal with the issues which are affecting the congregations. And so as I visit the congregations, I want to share that vision of what we're doing. Part of this was addressed at General Synod by myself, but people in the pews may wonder, what's that got to do with me? But this is your denomination. It has a very proud history. It's time that the congregations took control of their faith journeys, rather than it being left to a few, some of whom may have opposing views of your own. In the lead up to taking office, I had much thought about what I wanted to achieve in my time, taking the theme of sharing God's love together. Psalm 133 reminds us how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony, remembering that harmony is a pleasing combination of different parts. Just think of the beautiful harmony we heard from the choir. If we could all live together with that tone, it would be wonderful. But unfortunately, as we all know, we don't always live together in harmony. But that's something I want us all to try and work together based on sharing God's love. We are a liberal, free-thinking Christian church, but what does that actually mean? As non-subscribers, it's always good to question. When I look up the dictionary meaning of liberal, because I am not an academic, I am a doer, I am not deep in academia. But when you look up the dictionary, liberal means to respect or accept behaviors or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. Certainly, I think we've drifted from that basis, or at least the respect for each other to have different behaviors or different opinions. But we can respect people to have those. It's when they try and enforce those onto your particular view that I have an issue with. As a broad church family, broad church brings its own challenges. We are not always right, although some may believe they are. They don't want to hear other views. They don't want to share God's love together. They don't seem to want to share love at all. What is right in one person's mind is not right in another. We all need to work at that view of living in harmony from Psalm 133. In preparing to take up the moderator's role, I decided to read the Reverend Dr. John Nelson's A Short History of the Non-Subscribing Presbyterian Church of Ireland. So it came on holidays with me in May, book about this thick. For my 50th birthday, I decided to sit on the beach and read through the history of many of our congregations and churches. And the one thing that became abundantly clear is through the centuries, we have never seen eye to eye. There has always been splits, difference of opinion, and sometimes falling out with people not understanding why we don't get on. But if we look at our own families, and I was speaking to someone about this during the week, families don't always get on. We always have that hoarder. We always have the wacky uncle, the one who dresses differently. We always have the academic. We always have the person that just quite understand anyone else's view. So when we think of families and we think of a gathering of people in a church, why would they be any different? The part that stuck out to me was that in the 1800s there'd actually been physical violence over a meeting house in Carrickfergus. Dr. Nelson had said that such conflicts and danger to bitterness between congregations and ministers will continue as long as some of those involved remain alive, leaving the denomination weak and ineffective. A whole sorry state of business, one that I hope will not be repeated in our denomination. Those arguments had enticed people to walk away. For the public, they didn't think it was befitting of the dignity of a Christian church. Some 167 years later from that episode, we have seen splits. We have seen changes to presbytery. Our own Synod of Munster has seen additional churches come in with All Souls and First Church and Dunmurray, which then moved again. But our system of governance has always been there, that each court accedes to a higher court, and every minister, when ordained, vows according to our code of discipline. We are a free-thinking church. A free thinker is a person who rejects accepted opinions, especially those concerning religious belief. We don't follow the flow. Isn't that what's wonderful about our churches? We are free thinkers. We think for ourselves, for those who have gone before and allowed us that freedom. We are a diverse group of people, but we should have respect for that liberal free thinking. I've observed the great work being done on the ground in our congregations, much by the people without a collar. They are to be commended. It is to be continued and celebrated and shared amongst us, as we did at General Synod. We heard from Reverend Bridget regarding the Coming of Age program, and I want to take the opportunity as moderator to thank all those people who are involved in that particular program. It sounds absolutely amazing, allowing young people space to start and think for themselves, to understand different views, to understand different religions. And dare I say, that's something I would love to see across our whole denomination, in opening people's sight to what can be done. We have a Christian Ministries Committee, which myself and others have trained through. And we're looking at how we can do better with our lay preachers' course to support the clergy. That's something we'll be looking at as a wider group. A ministers' conference with a subject matter of the environment, something totally different for us as a denomination to take the environment and how we should react as a church body, and an opportunity for elders within the denomination to come together. Last Saturday, we had a wonderful afternoon tea and chat as Sunday School and Youth Committee. It was lovely to be in a meeting where there was so much energy. Sometimes, for anyone who sits in a committee, sometimes you're sitting there going, why am I sitting here? And it was lovely to see so much energy in a room. And so we've come up with an idea to celebrate the work of our young people by giving a task of an alphabet Bible for them to work towards. Now, I would ask, if you have any recommendations for X, there are a number of places would like to know what you could use. They refused my example of the Acts of the Apostles or Exodus. I leave it for you to work out. Maybe you will have, as more learned people than myself. But we've worked out activities for primary school children for Christmas and Easter, a Halloween quiz, and dare I say, a bake-off for our teenagers. And we're even looking at a youth synod. All things that it would be important that everyone from all our congregations can become involved in with our young people. We're looking at how we do our ecumenical relationships. And I'd also be setting up a moderatorial advisory committee of people from across the denomination. For me, it's important to find out what is happening with the grassroots, with the congregations, before we move forward. Sometimes particular people will have their own agendas in mind. It's important that everyone has their say. It's something that I am passionate about, that everyone has their say. And that moderatorial advisory committee is fittingly named Mac, after the Reverend Mac, who preached here many times, and the Reverend Mac Memorial Library will be opened on the 22nd of September, and everyone's welcome at that. It's an opportunity to share views. My term, I believe, will have many discussions on our way forward with the basis of sharing God's love together. These may be both legal and social. But for me, it's time that we stop burying our heads in the sand, stop kicking the can down the road. We can work together. Maybe brothers and sisters will not be able to work in harmony. And if that's the case, we need to work out how we manage that in a respectful way, but in line with our code of conduct and our governance. We see businesses, shops, restaurants closing. Our churches could follow the same path. I made a comment at our General Synod that in 5 to 10 years, some of our churches won't be around. We may not elect a 75th or 80th moderator. Now, after that, I was chastised by a number of people at the synod the next day. Sure, what's new? I always annoy a few people as I go around. That seems to be my way in life. But I outlined the irrational to it. The rationale being, sadly, look at the age profile of many congregations. Not many young people. Their funds are decreasing. Unlike here, where it's lovely to see so many people here worshiping. But many of our churches do not have these numbers. Many of our churches have 10, 15 or less people in a Sunday. And that's certainly not what I would like to see. Our clergy have changed over the last number of years, coming from various backgrounds with new ideas, new energy, blending both past and future. Some relationships have worked out, and sadly some haven't, and have caused hurt on both sides. There is a place, I believe, for liberal, free-thinking voice in our broken world. If we live up to what that really means, the faith of our forefathers, it's hard when we don't harness working together. A lasting thought when I think of our denomination is the song 40 Shades of Green, and a particular line, I'd walk from Cork to Larne to see the 40 shades of green. Now, I don't intend doing that as moderator, as you can see. I'm not a finely tuned athlete, so I won't be trying that walk. But we have churches in Cork, and we have churches in Larne to show our breadth. Our denomination is made up of more than those 40 shades of green. And when I think of that image, it comes to mind as a patchwork quilt that my mum used to make for me as a child, and it was made of different coloured squares, all sewn together and made a blanket. Maybe some of you had those. But when you put all those pieces together, just look at the wonderful piece of work you have. Whether that be a patchwork quilt, or whether that be the picture you have of those 40 shades of green. I want us to re-knit the quilt, not pull it apart. We're too small a group of people to do that. And so I would encourage people to look at our denomination. Look at the different ways we have, our different ways of worship. It is an opportunity for us to share God's love together. It is my intention to bring my experience from the secular world, managing change, dealing with difficult situations, being able to find solutions to problems together with the people of this denomination to work alongside me. Jeremiah reminds us, "Know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." Let us all share God's love together. I pray we're all given a fresh understanding as we sang. Let there be peace. Let there be joy. Let there be hope shared among us. But most importantly, love. For that is the greatest commandment we have, to love one another and share that love. Amen.